Well, I hope, if anything, that this morning you start to catch a glimpse of what you, as a church family, are involved in around the world. You know, we come here every week and we get to celebrate and we love doing that. And then we go into our neighborhoods. But at the same time, God is doing amazing things throughout the world because of your partnership. And, you know, you heard about the churches that are planted in Cambodia, and it was a privilege to get to go and be with those pastors and to share with them and to help train them so they can go out and be better equipped to do that more. And then you saw just now the vision of 100 new churches in Mexico. And what's amazing for me is I really sense that amazing possibility. Because about 10 years ago, Devin, myself, and then our children's pastor, Mario, we got to go down and visit with this family in Pachuca, Mexico. And we got to meet Greg and Vicky Syverson and Matthew and Benjamin. And it was amazing to be with them. And at that time, they were working in a community center there. And they were starting Bible studies in small groups in their community, a very poor community in the town. And I remember at that time sitting around the table with them, and they were dreaming about the church, the first church that was planted there. And then we as a church family got to watch as they started Nueva Vida there in Pachuca, Mexico. And God has used them in powerful ways in Pachuca and that area. And now, as you see, people are coming to Christ, and they are training leaders to be the teams that go out and plant more churches throughout Mexico. And so God has given them a great vision, and so we as partners with them get to watch their dream be realized, but more than just watch, there are ways that we get to participate. And so we're excited about that. And so I'm going to have Greg and Vicky and their sons Benjamin and Matthew come on up, and I'd love for you to give them a warm Newberry Park First Christian Church welcome. And it's my joy to let them share their lives and their ministry with you this morning.
Thank you. Well, Greg is preaching today, so I get to share a little bit first. First of all, I want to introduce Benjamin. He's 12. Matthew, he's 10. They were born in Mexico. And where do you like better, Mexico or United States?
Mexico.
And why is that? How about you, Bench? Because their friends are there, of course. That's what they know. That's their family. And we just want to thank you guys for praying for us. So many people have told us that you're praying for us, and we appreciate it. And we feel those prayers. We feel at times when it feels a little anxious in Mexico sometimes, where we're at is pretty safe, but we hear stories. We read the news once in a while. And, you know, sometimes it can feel a little anxious, but your prayers, we know, and you're praying for us for protection, and God protects us in amazing ways, and we want to thank you. We want to thank you for standing with us in this new vision that God has given us. Really, God gave us this vision 3 years ago. We just weren't brave enough to share it because it seems bigger than us. 100 churches, that's way beyond what we can do, but we know that God wants us to share that so that you can be praying, so we can be accountable to step out in faith for that vision, to see 100 churches planted. And God has given us the strategy of training up leaders, because obviously, if we plant 100 churches at the rate we're going, it'd take us 700 years. So we know that the strategy is to train up leaders, train up other people. God, I forgot to mention this in first service, but God has sent us an amazing young man to work with us from Argentina. We have information about him. He just recently joined our mission agency, but he came to us 2 years ago to help us launch a new youth ministry, and the youth are on fire, and it's spreading. This churches all over Mexico are asking us to come train their leaders in just how to reach the youth and the children. And so this young man, Juan David, but we call him Wandy, is just so crucial and a part of what we're doing in Mexico. So we'd appreciate you praying for him. And if you feel in your heart to support him, you can talk with us. One of the passions we have while we're here in the States is we feel like we still want to minister. And so we love to pray with you for anything you're maybe going through, any if maybe you're feeling God calling you to missions and you don't know where that, you know, what to do, or you're a little bit nervous about that. So we'd love to pray with you about anything that's going on, because we just love to pray. That's one of our passions. We love to pray for people. So we'll be at the booth, and you come, please come by and visit us, and we'd love to talk with you.
Good morning. Buenos días. ¿Cómo están? We have some Hispanics over here who they're part of the church that meets here in the afternoon. So if you hear somebody talking during the service coming from that direction, they're actually translating. They're not being rude. Okay, just so you guys know. And thank you for translating. Open up your iPads to or your iPhones to Matthew 10, your Bibles if you have them. There's something to, I use my phone. There's still something about a book. It's really good to be here with you guys. We've been in the States for a month, and I was just telling my wife, we're struggling with the U.S. culture. I don't know why. I can't put my finger on it. Just we've been in Mexico for 15 years. We come back here often enough, but we're usually only here for a week, and then we go back, and I don't know. It's just, I can't put my finger on it. So, okay, you guys there? Matthew 10. Jesus called the 12 disciples together and gave them authority to cast out evil spirits and heal every kind of disease and illness. Here are the names of the 12 apostles. I'm just going to read through their names quickly. Simon, Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, James, Thaddeus, Simon, and Judas Iscariot. Jesus sent out the 12 apostles with these instructions. Don't go to the Gentiles or the Samaritans, but only to the people of Israel, God's lost sheep. Go and announce to them that the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, cast out demons. Give as freely as you've received. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, in case it's just a little bit different than your translation. Jesus called his 12 disciples together. He just kind of gathered them in. Come on in, guys. Come on in. And he did that because he wanted to train them. He wanted to equip them. Think of it like a American football huddle. I have to say American football because in Mexico, if we say football, or in Cambodia, as he said, if you say football, you automatically think soccer. So we have to say American football. Okay, but think of it as a huddle. The quarterback calling the guys in. Okay, this is our plan. This is what we're going to do. So get ready. Okay? And so Jesus is calling his guys in for a huddle. Because he wants to tell them, hey, there's a plan. Something's going to happen. And this is what we're going to do. So he wants to give them tools. He wants to equip them, the disciples. Same with us. And you guys, this is actually a huddle right here. We are together here today to be equipped so we can go outside and change the world. This is an equipping place. Ephesians 4 says that the job of the leaders is to equip the saints, you guys, us, to do the job. And Jesus calls them together. And it's not just Sunday. We need to have one-on-one time with Jesus during the week. You can't live through the week off of a Sunday morning. You guys charge your phone? Does your phone last a whole week? Does it? It probably may get you through to the afternoon, but then that's it. It needs to be recharged. We need to be recharged all the time. We need to get one-on-one with Jesus so he can equip us. Feed on his word. Okay? And then he gave them authority to cast out evil spirits and to heal every kind of disease and illness. I love spy movies. You guys know Jason Bourne movies? Okay. I don't remember if it's the second or third one, but there's the CIA lady who's trying to capture him, and she goes to her boss, and she goes, I'm reading through his file, and there's all this stuff about Treadstone. What is Treadstone? And her boss says, you're not authorized. We can't tell you about it. You are not authorized for this. And she goes, if you want me to catch him, I need to know more about this. And so he goes, well, okay, I will authorize you. So I'll send over the files. But basically, he upped her authorization. And Jesus is doing the same thing. He tells his disciples, he gave them authority. He upped their authorization. You guys can now, if you come across a demon-possessed person, you have authority over those demons. You can boot them out. You can free that person. And also, and to heal every kind of disease and illness. I'm going to skip the names, and go down to verse 5. Jesus sent out the 12 apostles with these instructions. My version says apostles. I think the NIV just says he sent out the 12. But verse 2, it says, here are the names of the 12 apostles. He starts out by saying, he gathered the disciples. And now all of a sudden he's saying, he's getting ready to send out the apostles. Gathers the disciples, sending out the apostles. What's a disciple? A disciple is a learner. And we're learning about Jesus. We're learning about his kingdom. We are all disciples. You will be a disciple your whole life. You'll never get to a place where it's like, you know what? I know everything I need to know about God. It will just never get to that place. It's just not how it works. We are always disciples. And I'll tell you in a few minutes about the apostles. But it says, don't go to the Gentiles, nor the Samaritans, but only to the people of Israel, God's lost sheep. So he's saying, okay, we're going to focus. We've got a people group. This is our people group. This is who we're working with. And it was only for a short time, actually, because you know in Matthew 28, he says, go to all the world. But for this time, he's saying, just go to Israel. Don't worry about the Gentiles. We'll take care of them later. Right now, the Israelites. And we all have a sphere of influence. We are all part of groups. Our family, our workforce, wherever you're at, you guys have sphere of influence. Now, you remember how I said that Jesus brought them in like a huddle? I'm going to keep going with a football analogy. Football players have their position. Once again, American football. They have their position. And they need to play their position. If they don't play their position, things get messed up. You know, you've seen the charts. They have the little X's and stuff where they're supposed to line up. They know their role. And so if you have a linebacker, he stands there to protect the quarterback. And his job is not to, as soon as the ball's hiked, to run out to receive the ball. Linebackers are not really known for being fast. They're being known for being big and stopping other linebackers. And they know their position. It's possible that a linebacker may recover a fumble and run a few yards or even take it across for a goal, but it's just not common. And just because he does that once, he doesn't wake up the next morning dreaming of being a wide receiver or something like that. He knows his role. You guys with me? And where is your role? We may be able to work in lots of areas, but we're usually most effective in one area. So find out what is your area of influence and shine the light there. Build the kingdom there. Okay? You guys remember Michael Jordan? I'm from Illinois, so best basketball player ever, Michael Jordan. Do you remember at like the height of his career, being the best basketball player in the world, do you remember what he did? He retired to play baseball. You guys remember this? Baseball. Everyone was like, Michael, what are you doing? And you know what? I have to admit, just being able to get to the minors is actually a big deal. But as far as I know, he never made it to the majors. He played for the minors for a year or two. And I think he was burnt out, played for the minors, then he went back to basketball where he was the best. He could be where he was the best or go to where he was just average, you know? And it's the same for us. We can be effective in lots of places, but there's one place where we are the most effective. Find that place and go shine your light there, okay? Verse 7, go and announce to them the kingdom of heaven is near. That's what we do. That's our job. Go announce the kingdom of heaven. Bring his kingdom here to earth. So you remember that I said a disciple's a learner. Jesus gathered his disciples. Luke 6 says he appointed them as apostles. The word apostle is something we use in a church all the time. The holy apostles makes it sound very saintish. But what does the word apostle mean? It means to be sent or a sent one. And it's not a Hebrew word. It's a Greek word that Jesus adapted because he knew they would understand the concept. And so it was basically somebody sent to another culture to change the culture. So think of this. Because once it was a Greek word that the Romans grabbed onto also, and they used it. And then Jesus grabbed onto it and used it. But think of this. Alexander the Great. There's a reason they gave him the nickname the Great, because he went in this few years and conquered many lands, many cities, because he believed in his core that Hellenism, the Greek culture, was the best culture ever, and that it was his job to go and make the world like Greece. That was his passion. That was his life. And so think of this. He goes to a city, conquers a city. Goes to another city, conquers that city. Goes to another city, conquers that city. And he's like, I'll come back around and check out these cities. And he comes back to this one city, you know, and he's like, they don't speak Greek here. What's wrong? I thought we conquered this city. They should be speaking Greek. They should be celebrating our holidays. They should be worshiping our gods. And nothing's changed here. Didn't we conquer them? And so what he would do is he would take a general and say, I'm making you an apostle. Your job is to transform this city so that next time I come through, I'll think this is Athens. I want these people to speak Greek. I want them to have our art, our literature, our architecture, our history, everything, so that next time I come through, I feel like I'm at home. That was the original apostle before it became Christianized. And that is our job. That the kingdom would come. I love that song, Build Your Kingdom Here. And just how Devin was saying, it's easy to do in the church. We need to do it outside the church. Adam and Eve, Genesis 2, it says that God created Adam, and then he planted the garden. He took Adam and placed him in the garden. Adam was originally in the wilderness. Eve was created in the garden. There's a whole other sermon there of difference in men and women. But the idea was they're put in this garden that was a manageable size. God gave them the commandment to multiply, and that the garden would grow, and that as they have more kids and grandkids and great-grandkids, that this garden would grow and grow and grow so that it would fill the earth. That was the original plan. And that's the same thing with us today, not necessarily with a garden, but to that God's kingdom would spread throughout the earth. And it's good that we are not doing this alone. I love hearing about Cambodia. I got to meet Chris between services here. Amazing man, amazing story. And it's great to hear what's going on in Cambodia. So it comes down to the question, how do we do this? Yeah, how do we take this from being concepts and make it practical? And I would say the same thing that Jesus said. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, cast out demons. One of the ways we found in Mexico, I'm really not an evangelist. I grew up in the church, and I thought, that, whether this was taught to me or I just grabbed onto this, I thought to evangelize meant to walk down a street, find somebody who wasn't a Christian, and it was my job to convince them to follow Jesus right then and there, and probably baptize them too, something like that. But, it, you know, like the whole process right there. And so I never liked that. Yeah, I remember I've taken tons of classes where, you know, you learn Bible verses. It's all good stuff. But in the end, you feel like you're, like it's guilt that's trying to get you. And guilt is not a good motivator at all. If any of you guys are old enough to remember Keith Green, he was a Christian singer back in the 70s, early 80s. He said, going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to McDonald's makes you a hamburger. You guys remember this quote? Keith, amazing guy. He said, being a Christian is somebody who is bananas for Jesus. I'm curious how you translate bananas for Jesus. But being bananas for Jesus, and you know, you only become bananas for Jesus spending time with him. Get back in that huddle with Jesus. Spend time with him. And then, you know what? When you are bananas for Jesus, it just happens automatically. You just start sharing his love. So, one of the things we do in Mexico is our people just in life, in their groups, in their spheres of influence, they run into people who, you know, hey, my mom's sick, or hey, this is going on in my life. They're going through struggles. And our people are just like, hey, can I pray for you? They're not just wandering around the streets looking aimlessly for somebody. Somebody they know is actually going through a struggle, and they say, hey, can we pray for you? You don't have to give them the four spiritual laws. You're just planting a seed. You're showing love in a practical way. Raising the Dead, that first song was, he opened, how was that? How'd the words, where's Devin? Is he not here? But the words were so powerful of, you know, that we were dead. You know, we can pray that God would raise the dead, but also that we were dead and our lives were changed. Cure those with leprosy. I've never met anyone with leprosy. I don't even know where to go. God kind of gave me permission. Every time it says leprosy, I put in cancer. My mom died of cancer a few years ago. And it's kind of my personal, I've got two testimonies of people being healed from cancer. One was a 21-year-old fourth stage cancer, is that how you say it? And we prayed for her, didn't expect anything to happen because I never prayed with expectancy. And she just told us she was sick of being sick. It was the first time I'd ever met her. She said she was sick of being sick, and we just said, well, we'll pray for you. And not expecting anything to happen, she went to the doctors 2 weeks later. She told them, I don't want any more chemo. I'm done with it. I'm sick of being sick. And they couldn't find any cancer in her body. Totally changed the way our church prayed. We were like, oh, God still works today. And our church started praying for people. I remember there was this one time our youth pastor was leading prayer in the church. And she'd set it up ahead of time where she told the youth, she said, stand in the back, I'm going to have you pray if anyone's sick. And so what she said was, she got up to pray, and before she prayed, she goes, hey, we're going to pray for the sick. So during the prayer, if you have a sickness anywhere, if you got pain anywhere, just raise your hand during the service, and one of the random youth will come and just put their hand on your shoulder and pray for you. And we had one guy who was there for the first time. He'd been a taxi driver for 30 years. And he's sitting in the back row, first time at church, and he's just like, you know what? My back is really hurting me. So he just raised his hand. Some random youth, we have no idea who it was, some random youth just came over, put their hand on his shoulder, prayed for him. He's been healed ever since. The back pain left. And find people who are going through tough times. It's like connecting the dots. All of a sudden, they're like, wow, God does exist. God does love me. It's really amazing. And you know what? People are going through hard times all the time. They need to see the love of God. And so that's it. These are just some practical things. And you know what? When you're bananas for Jesus, it's easy to show the love. It comes out easier when it's not out of guilt. But there's something that I'm not sure how to share, and that's a sense of urgency. I don't know how to share urgency. Because without a plan, we just kind of walk out the door and go, hey, that was a great message. But, you know, we don't know how to put it into action. And, you know, people die without knowing Jesus. And if we're not setting goals with, hey, I want to try to pray for at least one person this week. If we're not setting goals, yeah, I think it's interesting that Jesus was only on earth for 3 years. He knew his time. He's like, okay, I got 3 years to accomplish this. How am I going to get this done in 3 years? You know, we need to be setting goals for how are we going to get God's kingdom here? What am I going to do in my little sphere of influence? It was interesting. I was in Scottsdale, Arizona a few weeks ago, and I was staying with a pastor, and he one morning he just said, hey, come with me. There's a guy from our church who he's sick and he's in a hospital and he's just not doing good. And so I went over, see him. The guy's name is Bill Gates. Not the Bill Gates. Well, he'll tell you he's the Bill Gates, but he's not the Bill Gates. And he actually is a computer guy. It's kind of funny. But so we just go over to pray for him. And, you know, he's sick. He's got the oxygen on. He's probably mid-70s. But he actually was looking pretty good, you know, and so me and the pastor, we pray for him, and his wife, you know, we were probably there half an hour, and just trying to encourage him, and we left, and that afternoon, the pastor, because we were staying at his house, the pastor just goes, I just got a phone call, Bill died. And I'm like, no way. I was seriously in shock, because I'm like, he was in a hospital, but I'm like, he looked really good. But the good thing is he was a Christian. He knew Jesus. He was bananas for Jesus. I don't know how to share urgency. That's something that every one of us just has to go, okay, I need to start setting goals in my life. It's not Pastor Ken's job to evangelize the whole world. He doesn't know your friends. You guys do. He doesn't know your family. You guys do. You guys already have an inroad that he'll never have. So in the same way, going back to American Football Illustration, the huddle. There's a time for the huddle. We need a huddle. We need to come here on Sunday mornings, get refilled. We need to be one-on-one with Jesus to be filled, to figure out what's the plan, what's the next step. But there's a time in football, because they don't just stay there in their huddle the whole time. There's a time where they're like, break or whatever they do, I don't know. But it's like, okay, let's go do the play. It's great to talk about this, but if we're not doing the play, the ball's never going to get advanced down the field. It's time to say, break, let's go do this. Let's build this kingdom here, and not just here. You know that Newbury Park First Christian Church is more than just a building? Do you know if we all migrated out to the parking lot, Newbury Park First Christian Church would be in a parking lot? This is just a building. It's all it is. This is the church. So let's go be the church. Let's bring God's kingdom here. Okay? So let's pray, and then you guys will be released to go change your world. Your world. The world that you guys influence. Go change that world. God, without you, we can do absolutely nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing. We need your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your Holy Spirit in us to lead us, to guide us, to teach us. And Lord, just help us to fall more and more in love with you so that this world can see that you are good news, you're amazing news. And Lord, help us to set goals. Practical things like goals on loving others, encouraging others. Thank you, Jesus. In your name, amen.